Balance Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales, Carter, Slades, Carter, Abel's, Carter, Newburgh, Carter, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plain, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there. Hey, smell that dairy air. Hey.
This is Tell Joy What to Eat That Is Made in Wisconsin. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, September 13th. This is the hour each week when we celebrate Wisconsin culture, and I often ask you to tell me where to go for a uniquely Wisconsin experience. And today we're going to talk about something special about Wisconsin, Wisconsin foods. Foods that are grown here, that are made here, that are used in restaurants and kitchens here. Local foods that we love, local restaurants that we love that serve Wisconsin foods. And the foods that are going to be showcased this weekend at the first ever Wisconsin Food Festival. If you're a farmer or a food producer, and that includes wine and beer and cheese and chocolate or any food product, or if you're a restaurant that uses local foods, or if you like to buy foods that are made in Wisconsin, we'd like to hear from you this hour. Call in and tell us about yourself or about them so we can all know more about Wisconsin foods. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Tiffany Kenny, event producer for the Wisconsin Food Festival that will be held in Delavan this weekend. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. Tell us about the Wisconsin Food Festival. What's it all about?
Yeah, well, we are very excited to launch the first annual Wisconsin Food Festival. Wisconsin is well known for many special food events, but we decided that we really needed to focus on one that was just about things produced here. The chefs don't have to do the work. They just get to come in and check out the food and really get to meet the local producers. So we're excited to have this event coming out.
So the local producers will be there, and mainly chefs are going to be checking out the goods?
Well, we want everyone to come and celebrate Wisconsin food. We're starting small with our event. It's the first time we've done it, but we've got four parts to it. We've got two tasting dinners, one which is the Wisconsin Farm Dinner and Tour. Then we've got the Wisconsin Heritage Dinner, which has a 7-course meal of all great Wisconsin products. We have a Wisconsin Bike Tour, where you can actually ride your bike from Madison, Wisconsin, down to Delavan, fueled by fabulous Wisconsin foods. And then we have a showcase event all day on Sunday from 12 to 5. People can come through and meet with our producers, meet the people who are actually making these great local food products.
Sounds delicious. Give us a scope of some of the Wisconsin food products that will be there.
I know. You know, I was listening to your intro and thinking, I don't think we have enough time. We have so many great things to talk about. Well, you know, one of the things I'm really excited about is we have Anna Landmark from Landmark Creamery joining us. And she has some new cheese products. She's a new creamery. She's got brand new cheese products. And we're some of the first people who are going to get to try those. And, of course, Wisconsin being a dairy state, we're kind of fortunate. We get to try a lot of great cheese. But here we are, brand spanking new. So she's going to join us.
Cool.
We've of course got great things too, like Rushing Waters trout. We've got Bolzano artisan meats. We've got Lala nuts. I've got about 37 local food participants who are joining us in some way for this weekend.
So why is it so important to showcase Wisconsin foods?
Well, you know, it's really interesting to me as I have spent my last, I don't know, about 10 years working in the food world, doing special events and promotional projects with the food producers. And what we find is it's really hard for them to both make their food and show off their food. And so by creating the Wisconsin Food Festival, we have an opportunity for them to bring everyone together to celebrate both the actual food product itself, but then the economy that they're creating, and really get to know and generate business for themselves in there.
Yeah, so why is it important for restaurants to use local foods?
Yeah, you know, I think there's two parts to the conversation that I always like to talk about. The first is I think the economy is important. It's important that chefs are buying their product from people who are also dining in their restaurants. It's a circle, you know, if you're paying for that food and then they're coming into your restaurant, it only makes good sense. But then additionally, Wisconsin is just known for fantastic food. We're lucky. There's actually a funny thing I learned from the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, which is that, you know, our land here, because of the fact that we had those glaciers, we've got some fantastic soil. So our cows are really well fed and we're making some great cheese. And so it's a funny thing that there really is a geography to the great local food of Wisconsin as well.
So we have the happiest cows.
We sure do. I loved having that nugget so the next time I see someone from California, I can say, you can never have as good of cheese as we do. We got that driftless area. We got the glacier area, you know.
Now, you were talking about, you know, meats and cheeses and
sure.
Even trout. I mean, a lot more restaurants are also depending on local farms for produce too, right?
They are, and they're making some great relationships. You know, recently the Department of Agriculture announced that we're number 8. State of Wisconsin has the in the rankings of numbers of farmers markets. So what that's saying to me and saying to everyone else is that really we're trying to create that accessibility, that ability to get the food. For chefs, it's really important for them to have that access to the food. And I think that's one of the things that everyone is really just focusing on right now is how do we create better access to those things that are out there and available.
Well, besides these types of foods, there are other food products made in Wisconsin, finished products. Are you highlighting those as well?
Yeah, we've got some of those joining us. You know, Quince and Apple is a great example, or Yum Butter. People who are spending their time really sourcing great local products and then creating something else out of them. So Quince and Apple, they do jams and jellies and some really great things. You know, they go to Door County, find themselves some cherries, make themselves some great cherry syrups. And really then it's another layer to this whole economy where you've got the producer creating it or growing it, then you've got a producer making something out of it, and then the end consumer using it. So we're adding another layer in there into the economy, but also into the way that we're able to access local food.
Yeah, and the end consumer, these are products and foods that I can purchase and have in my own kitchen, right?
Absolutely. I mean, who wouldn't want to have some of the vanilla beaneries, vanilla, in their kitchen to make themselves some, you know, when they're baking? And so how do you get a vanilla bean in Wisconsin, right? So there's some challenges with some things in terms of how do you call that a local product? Well, we call that a local product because she also works with Yahara Bay Vodka to go through the process of actually making the vanilla syrups. So there's different layers to the conversation, and for us, we really look at the Wisconsin Food Festival. We're trying to talk about it on both levels. You know, what do you call a local product that's produced here? But if maybe Just Coffee is a great example, how do they get their coffee beans? We got to bring them here, but then what they do with them and how they roast them and how they treat them here is an important part of that conversation.
All right, so there are foods that are grown in Wisconsin, homegrown foods, but there are also products that are made in Wisconsin but might have relied on an ingredient from far away.
Yeah, you know, we try to do, I think it's really interesting to work with some of the local chefs, too, and see how they struggle sort of with this challenge, because for them, citrus is an important ingredient, and oranges in Wisconsin don't happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do to try to do that? Well, for them, then it goes into really trying to make sure that they're sourcing it as ethically and as safely as they can. But then how do they balance that with, instead, what can they bring into from the Wisconsin products to mix in with that? Chef Tori Miller at L'Etoile is really fantastic for the way that he uses the variety of vegetables. He kind of just, his focus is on what do I have right now in season from a produce standpoint. And I think that, you know, that's kind of an exciting thing to watch, is that evolution of how he can connect with local farmers and change his menu up, but at the same time, work his chef mastery.
Yeah, are there, you know, we're showcasing the Wisconsin foods. Are there Wisconsin restaurants that are well known or leaders in this local food movement?
Yeah, well, I did, of course, name drop Tori Miller. I think everyone is really aware of him and his James Beard Award and his commitment to local food. But we're also excited to see other people like Dan Fox, who's just opened his Heritage Tavern on the up in Madison. We also, a chef that I'm excited to work with for the Wisconsin Food Festival is actually Tyler Salisbury. He's at a restaurant called The Black Sheep in Whitewater, Wisconsin. And so I love seeing those chefs in communities that haven't traditionally thought about the local food in the same way. You know, Whitewater's a community college. And here, you know, there are colleges, also those college kids running around. And here now they've focused on this local food. And Chef Tyler is sourcing his lamb less than 15 miles away. And I'm really excited to see this new round of people, too, sort of following, I guess, Tori and, of course, Odessa's lead. But here we go. We've got some new chefs coming in.
We are talking about Wisconsin foods. What's your favorite Wisconsin-produced food or wine or treat? Do you have a favorite restaurant that uses local products? Do you make a point of buying Wisconsin products, Wisconsin-made foods, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And if you are a producer of a Wisconsin food product or a farmer and you want to let us know about your specialty, we'd love to hear from you too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, September 13th. We are talking with one of the organizers of a new festival in Wisconsin, the first ever Wisconsin Food Festival. It's being held in Delavan this weekend, and it showcases Wisconsin foods, products that are made in Wisconsin, foods that come from Wisconsin farmers. And we wonder if you seek out local foods. Do you make a point of buying Wisconsin foods, Wisconsin products, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have also provided a link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page with more information about the activities going on this weekend at the first ever Wisconsin Food Festival. Our guest is the event producer for this event, Tiffany Kenny. And our first caller is Joan in Williams Bay. Hello, Joan.
Oh, good morning. Good
morning.
I am a Wisconsin resident, and I'm not particularly a foodie, but I stopped into a store in Lake Geneva called The Backyard, featuring meat, sausage, cheese, and wines, and sampled a cheese that was so good I had to buy one, a wedge. And I noticed when I bought the wedge that it took first place, was awarded first place by the American Cheese Society. And it is just really wonderful.
What kind of cheese? Okay, go ahead.
And it's made in Plymouth, Wisconsin. I'm going to see if they can get to the Delavan Food Fest and have the samples there. It's so good that I'm having company over Sunday, and I'm serving that as a snack with some grapes.
Who made that cheese for you? Do you know who the producer was of that cheese?
The producer, it looks like, is Santori.
Sartori.
Sartori in Plymouth, Wisconsin.
Don't they make some great cheese? So what are you trying? Did you have maybe their Merlot?
Called Merlot Bella Vitano.
I knew it. The Merlot was one of my absolute favorites. It is.
Oh,
I love
my.
That you brought that up. It's a fantastic cheese. You know, Sartori's, they are going to be joining us at the Wisconsin Food Festival. So there you go. They're already going to be with us.
That's excellent. And Wisconsin really does have, I know we're America's dairy land and we're known for great cheeses, but there's been a real boom.
Last year, Holland's Family Cheese just, they cleaned up the awards at the American Cheese Society, and they're joining us. And I love having all of these award winners in Wisconsin. I mean, I think, I don't remember the actual number, but the American Cheese Society Awards were just this past August. And I think we were more than half the awards. I think we took them all.
Do you know why we're so good at it?
You know, it's definitely, it's an interesting emerging field, this artisan cheese, because we did it a long time ago. And then we got into a period of, let's just make a lot of great, you know, cheddar and a lot of great Colby. And now we've kind of gone back. So I think what for us, we're lucky, is we do have a good history, but we also, we're Wisconsin and we're hardworking, dedicated people. So these artisans who are making these specialty cheeses, I got to go on a tour and see the work that they do. They spend so much time and energy and hand-holding of these products that I don't know how they couldn't be great when someone puts their heart and their passion into it like that.
Yeah, and those happy cows, too.
Of course, back to that grass and the driftless and all that glacier stuff. Good for us.
Well, Joan said she wasn't a foodie. Is it necessary to be a foodie to enjoy local foods?
It's not. You know, foodie is a funny word. Some people think it's like a naughty word. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, no, don't call yourself a foodie. Be into the food policy or food thoughts. Foodie is a fun word. It's something that if you're one of the people like myself who I really like to Instagram and take pictures of my food, I call myself a foodie because it's fun. I think what's really important is just enjoying food in the way that you want to enjoy it, having fun with your friends and your family. Usually that takes place around food in some way, shape, or form. So the term foodie, apply it or not. Either way, I think living in Wisconsin, you're lucky to have a lot of great local food around you.
You know, I think there's a perception that foodie also means that you'll spend $1 billion at a restaurant, that local food means expensive food. Is that the case?
You know, that's a really hard conversation to have, because in some cases, if you don't have good access to markets, that food does seem elite or exclusive, and it shouldn't be. And I think that's one of the things that as Wisconsin food producers and as someone like myself who's trying to promote Wisconsin food, we need to make people more aware of that. It isn't expensive and it doesn't need to be. You know, there are great ways to get involved with things like a CSA, which is a community supported agriculture program where you buy a share in a farm and you get a little bit of produce every week. There are great ways to access it, but I just think that there's still some education to get out there because I don't know that everyone knows that it's available to them.
Let's go next to Pete in Broadhead. Hello, Pete.
Hey. So I was up just so, I think, 2 weeks ago for a wedding in Green Bay, and it was at the Green Bay Distillery just across the street from Lambeau, kind of kitty corner, and had a Wisconsinite beer. And not only is it made in Wisconsin, but it's supposed to be, all of its ingredients were grown in Wisconsin.
That was
pretty cool.
Is that unusual, Tiffany?
Yeah, I don't know that product. That sounds great. I mean, it is, you know, it's hard to completely source every part of your product from Wisconsin for a beer for distribution. Could be challenging, but that's awesome to hear that they're doing that. Why would we not want to encourage something like that?
And that was at the Green Bay Distillery? They made that beer?
No, I don't think they made that beer. They make vodka. I'm not sure who made the beer. My aunt was drinking one. I said, "Hey, what's that?" And she said, "It's a Wisconsinite." I said, "I'll try it." And it was very good.
Well, I'll have to check that out, a Wisconsinite.
I know, I'm putting
beer
it on my list right now. And I'm also, you know, the internet, thank you. I'm looking it up.
Do you have any brewers coming to the festival?
You know, we don't have any brewers this year. For us, we wanted to start with the food product. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of great beer fests in October, you know, and everyone's doing, and especially, and wineries as well. They're doing all their harvesting right now. So we wanted to give those people a little bit of their opportunities in October. Instead, we're focusing on food. We do, however, have two great wineries joining us. We have Stoller Estates Winery and Northleaf Winery, both Wisconsin wineries, and I'm excited to have them joining us.
Yeah, and the wineries, sometimes they will import other grapes or whatever, but they do use some local fruits as well.
Yeah, it depends, again, back on volume. Mm. You know, someone like Philippe over at Wollersheim Winery, who, congratulations to him, I think just another award for their Prairie Fumé came through.
Yeah.
But for someone like him who's got to have that volume, growing that many grapes in Wisconsin is the challenge. But he brings them here, he produces the wine here, and that's the important part for us is, again, that's the economy of it. He's creating jobs and selling wine here in Wisconsin. But some of the other people, someone a little bit smaller, like Stoller Estates Winery or Northleaf, they do really work to source as much as they can in the state of Wisconsin.
And where are those wineries?
So Stoller Estates Winery is in Delavan, Wisconsin, and I'm super excited to work with them because Wendy Stoller is their winemaker, one of the only female winemakers in Wisconsin.
Cool.
So I, you know, go girl. Mm-hmm. I love that part. And then Northleaf Winery, which is in Milton, Wisconsin. So
okay.
We're getting, you know, some of these new places to tell people about them. They both have beautiful locations. You're welcome to stop by and visit them. And, of course, the winemaker's right there on site. It's funny to go talk with Wendy. She's, like, bottling wine as you're trying to have a meeting. But, you know, there she is.
Dan in Drummond has a suggestion for another local winery. Dan, what's one of your favorites?
Well, there are two places. One is in Iron River at the White River Winery, which I know uses a lot of local ingredients in that, and berries and stuff like that. Also, another place is in Ashland, Wisconsin, at the place called the Deep Water Grill, where the owner also is the owner of the South Shore Brewery and Pizza Place. So those are two places that would be interested for tourists and that to check out.
Thank you very much, Dan. We'll make a note of that. Speaking of pizza, by the way, we will be listening to an essay on Wisconsin life coming up after we check the latest news, and it's on pizza, farming and pizza. So stay with us for that. And we'll continue to take your suggestions for favorite Wisconsin foods after we check the latest news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio.
Been to Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin, Richmond, New Richmond, Ridgewood, Woodruff, Woodford, Pleasantville, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Star Prairie, Prairie Sheep, Prairie Sack, Black Flambeau, Ernest.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy.
We'll continue to celebrate Wisconsin foods and take your calls about your favorite foods made in Wisconsin after this delicious edition of Wisconsin Life. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up now on 6:37 on this Friday, September 13th. Today we bring you the story of two things you don't often experience together, farming and pizza. Brianne Schosau tells us how the two have combined to create a scenic and tasty meal.
When I told people I was going to a pizza farm, I kept getting the same question over and over. What is a pizza farm? So I posed that question to Pam Taylor, owner of the Nelson Stone Barn in Nelson.
A pizza farm has a lot of different connotations. Ours here is because we grow our own herbs and custom make our own pizzas. So we're a little bit different than growing your own vegetables. But we try to stay as local as possible. There are some that grow their own vegetables and then go farm to table.
Taylor doesn't start serving until 5 p.m. on Saturdays, but sometimes people show up early. On the day I visited, more than 20 cars and motorcycles stretched in a line along the road. By 5:30, around 60 pizza orders had been placed. The record number of pizzas in a night is 226, set earlier this year. Inside, staff take orders, prepare dough, and sauce and top pizzas. After the bubbling pies are pulled from the oven, they're quickly sliced and delivered to customers.
You guys 18?
Yep.
The Hawaiian?
Clearly, the pizza is popular, but the scenery doesn't hurt either. Golden barn walls house a seating area and herb gardens. Again, Pam Taylor.
We're mostly here just so people can come and enjoy, get a little taste of nature with your dinner. We're not a formal restaurant where you have to sit down and watch your kids. As you can see, the kids are running all over. It's a very comfortable, relaxed atmosphere. That's what I wanted.
Sometimes it feels like I'm dancing.
That's Heather Seacrest of Suncrest Gardens Farm in Cochrane. I try to stay out of the way as she maneuvers a pizza in her wood-fired oven with a peel on a pizza night. Seacrest bakes the pizzas in a fire-brick domed oven that looks kind of like an igloo. A very warm, tan igloo. Usually, Seacrest starts firing the oven by 11 a.m.
It was at probably 400 when we started the day. And
this, when it all turns white in the inside of the oven, it's at 900 degrees and the floor is at 700 then. And so that's what we aim to cook at, is around 700, 750.
Like other pizza farms, pizza nights are only one part of Suncrest Gardens Farm. Seacrest and staff tend crops, care for animals, and prepare food shares for a community-supported agriculture program. They're busy, but Seacrest says all of the pieces of the farm fit together.
And even the ash from our oven goes back to the garden, you know, as to help with the fertilizer, you know, plan of the garden, you know, back there. So nothing, everything has its purpose and everything's used, and we've even mulched tomatoes with pizza boxes. Everything's full circle as much as we can.
The pizzas I tried were unbelievably fresh. But my favorite ingredient was something that came extra with each pie. Passion. Everyone I met is passionate about knowing where their food comes from and about using the freshest possible ingredients. Mingled with that is a connection to nature and to the farm. A trip to a pizza farm isn't just about going to grab a pizza. It's an experience and a relationship with food that's hard to get in our daily lives. That's what keeps bringing people, and me, back for more.
You can see photos of some pizza farms on wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. This is Tell Joy Where to Go to Eat Wisconsin Foods, or What Wisconsin Foods Are Great to Eat. I'm Joy Cardine, and we are talking with the event producer of the first ever Wisconsin Food Festival, which will be held this weekend in Delavan, Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your Wisconsin food favorites. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you if you're a farmer or a producer. What's special about your product? Let us know where we can find it. And if you make a point of buying Wisconsin products, or you have a favorite restaurant that uses Wisconsin products, we'd love to hear about that as well. Tiffany Kenny is the event producer for the Wisconsin Food Festival, which will be in Delavan, Wisconsin this weekend. And Tiffany, I've got to find myself a pizza farm. How about you?
I know. I love that story. And actually, I have a funny thing to kind of tie in with that. A friend of mine was traveling up to Door County, and she went and checked out this great pizza place called Wild Tomato. I got to get there, evidently. She's been Facebooking me and sending me pictures. And so now here we go. Pizza's in my world. I better get up there and check it out.
But that was, in a way, that's what you're trying to do here to a certain extent. This is just another example of people wanting to be connected to where their food comes from. And it's good for the economy, and it just tastes better.
It does. You know, it tastes just a little bit sweeter when you see that passion or that drive from the person who's producing the food. Yeah. You know, it's just, it didn't come from a warehouse somewhere. It didn't come out of a box. It came from this person's, you know, labor of love. And usually, man, I don't know some of these people why they do it. It's so hard. The agricultural world is a very, very hard thing to raise consistent product, to make sure you can deliver on it, to market it, to sell it. You know, so I'm really proud of our local food producers.
Well, I know that you're going to be having a couple of dinners at the Wisconsin Food Festival that are going to be featuring Wisconsin foods. Why don't you tell us about the menu so we can get a scope of what kind of Wisconsin foods you're going to be having there?
I don't know if this is mean or not before breakfast, you know?
No, it's not. It's okay.
All right. Well, I thought what I could do is just share with you how the heritage menu lays out. We're working with Chef David Ross at Lake Lawn Resort, which is the headquarters for our festival. David, actually, on the property at Lake Lawn, has beehives, and he's making his own honey from those beehives. That's what we're looking for, too, is really to see some unique, interesting ways that people are producing their own local food. He has prepared a fantastic 5-course heritage dinner for us. His first course is an oatmeal stout braised lamb strudel. He's using Tyrania's Down and Dirty Oatmeal Stout, which is a beer. He bought his lamb from the local 4-H, which I love, And then he's got River Valley mushrooms, shiitake mushrooms.
Wow.
He's got Alsem sweet corn on his list. He's got Upland's Farm on his list for his second course. His entree course is a cranberry walnut stuffed pork roulade. He's been working, of course, with Dan Fox here to get a heritage pork loin. He's got Turtle Creek Farms broccoli. He's got Vanilla Beanery vanilla on his dessert course. And I think I just need to stop there.
Oh,
Rushing Waters trout. I think, you know, what we're trying to do is really showcase this menu is completely Wisconsin. You can find it, you know, our website for the Wisconsin Food Festival is really long. So we made a short URL, wifoodfest.com, so mm-hmm. people can find it easier. But his menu is on there, and he has featured over 15 local food producers on his menu, and every ingredient is from Wisconsin.
That's wonderful. And why is this a heritage menu?
Because then he looked up some recipes and some traditional uses of ingredients. And so he's looking at it as a little bit to back to how we should have been or would have been cooking, his heritage.
Yeah.
And so we're excited to see that.
Well, by the way, we did get an email from Rachel who wants to let us know that the beer that our caller mentioned in our last half hour, the Wisconsinite, is made by Lakefront in Milwaukee. And she says it's a wheat beer that is sold seasonally.
Wonderful. And I do know Lakefront, and they do some great products.
Yeah. And we also have Valerie on Facebook who wants to recommend that Rolling Meadows in Elkhart Lake makes sorghum syrup.
Ooh.
And so they, I guess it's sorghum that is grown here in Wisconsin, and that's another local product that you can get.
Excellent.
Let's go to the phones again, and we do have an open line for you if you want to talk about a favorite Wisconsin food or a restaurant that serves Wisconsin foods. Or if you're a food producer and want to let us know about what you produce, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And we have Nancy in Albany with us. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. Sounds like you're a food producer.
Yes, I work with Sugar River Dairy in Albany, Wisconsin, and we make several different varieties of fresh yogurt from cows right here in Greene County. And we have vanilla yogurt and Greek yogurt. We really pride ourselves in the creamy consistency and the fact that the yogurt that we make is not homogenized. There are no additives. One of the products that we make is from Pastureland Co-op. And it is a completely grass-fed yogurt. And so the creamy omega-3 fatty acids and so on, you can just see the cream on the top. It's lovely stuff. We have fruit flavors in it, strawberry, blueberry, peach, raspberry. And it's sold around many places in Madison, particularly the co-ops and the Hy-Vees and some of the not the real big box stores. But we're up as far as Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and in the Milwaukee area, we have quite a large distribution there as well. But it's some of the most delicious yogurt you'll find in the store, and because it's made with that different processing and non-homogenized, it gives it a real natural flavor.
I'm really glad you called, Nancy, because I never think of, you think of cheese a lot, but you don't think of yogurt being made a lot, and it is, isn't it? I mean,
there's so many different kinds on the shelves, and very few of them are really local. Many of them come from way far away, and so we really are right here in central Wisconsin and promoting the product. You'll find us at the farmers market out at Hill Farms as well. We have a large crowd that comes back every week to get the yogurt there at the stand. We're busy, busy, busy all morning long. So,
and what's the name of the what is the name of it?
It's called Sugar River. We're right here in Albany, Wisconsin, and Sugar River Dairy comes right in. We're not in Albany. We're out in the country. It's actually a farm factory, and it's on a homestead. It's a lovely place in the rolling hills of southern Wisconsin.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for letting us know. So you can get some local yogurt, too, Tiffany.
Yeah, I love it, and I love grass-fed. You know, it really makes a big difference in that taste. One of the things I'm excited about, too, is a producer I'm working with, VDB Organics. He's been working to raise cattle for beef
both grass-fed and organic. And so as we're getting into these different labelings, you know, one of the things I think it's important for food people to think about, or people who think about food, is really that what is the correct label? What does it mean, organic? What does it mean? You know, we could go into hours of conversation on that. But it's important that when you're a Wisconsin food product that you say, I'm from Wisconsin, and that's the label I think that you should carry with pride.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Tiffany Kenny. She is the event producer for the first ever Wisconsin Food Festival held in Delavan, Wisconsin this weekend. And we are welcoming your favorite Wisconsin foods. Foods that are produced in Wisconsin, are made in Wisconsin, are grown in Wisconsin. Do you have a favorite Wisconsin produced food or cheese or beer or wine or other product or treat? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I've been to Edgerton, Darlington, Middleton, Hubbleton, Hub City, Cuba City, Genoa City, Ashburn, Ashland, Packwaukee, Pewaukee, Waukesha, Conemaugh, Wapaka, Milwaukee, Wausau, Wauwatosa, Waupon, Watertown, Waterloo, Whitewater, Whitefish, State Manor, Swishwaters, Climate.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy air, hey, once a while.
This is Tell Joy Where to Eat, or Tell Joy What to Eat that is made in Wisconsin. We are celebrating Wisconsin foods this hour. This is the hour each week when we celebrate something special about Wisconsin. And today, it's the foods that we make here and eat here. If you have a restaurant that likes to feature local foods, we'd love to hear about that. If you are a food producer, make something special from Wisconsin products, or you make something with products, but you make it elsewhere, but you make it in Wisconsin, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. All sorts of Wisconsin foods will be highlighted, will be showcased this weekend at the first ever Wisconsin Food Festival, which is going to be taking place in Delavan, Wisconsin. We are talking with the event producer, Tiffany Kenny. And we have lots of callers, so let's go to the phones and go to Crystal in Humburg. Is that, I'm sorry, Crystal, where are you from?
It's Humburg.
Bird, okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead, Crystal, what do you want to recommend?
Okay, I'm from a small town in southwest Wisconsin called Potosi. And years ago, in the mid-50s, they were Rootin' Tootin' Brewery. And they closed up, people died, and anyway, it kind of went to ruin. But then the Historical Society down there revamped it again, and it is now going again. And they have a restaurant there, they have a museum. They represent several of the smaller breweries, I think just from the local area down there. And I was in my local store in Black River Falls, Wisconsin, and they have Potosi beer in there again.
Isn't that great? And all of the, I love that about Potosi. All the sales from their beer go back to preserving the museum and their nonprofit partners. So I think that's a really cool thing to see Potosi kind of reestablishing themselves, like you're saying.
Yeah, thank you very much, Crystal, for sharing that. I'll have to look for a Potosi.
Yeah, Potosi Brewing, great beer.
Let's go to Pat in Sauk County now. Hello, Pat.
Good morning, Joy. I'm letting you know about the delicious Driftless Fare, F-A-R-E, October 5th at Folklore Village, which is just between Ridgeway and Dodgeville on County BB.
And what's going to be happening there?
Well, they're having tastings, workshops, lots of music, children's activities. On Friday night, there's a film, Hungry for Change, at the Mineral Point Theater. And on Saturday from noon until 6, they'll be having all kinds of different vendors. We'll be having a comments by Stephen Diller from UW-Madison, and a potluck and barn dance at 6.
Well, what's the mission of the fair, Pat?
Many of us, I'm one of the vendors there. I'll be there with grass-fed organic beef and vegetables and chicken. And lots of vendors will be there, lots of workshops on how to prepare local foods, what's in season when, lots of recipes, and ways for people to connect with different farmers in the area, in the Driftless.
Thank you very much, Pat. A reaction, Tiffany?
You know, I got to get it on my calendar. I'm looking right now. I'm going to go. It sounds great.
Yeah.
Why? You know, that's what we're looking for, is ways for people, the consumer, the end user, to connect with the producer. I love that they're putting that event together.
Let's go next to Zachary in Madison. Hi, Zachary.
Hi, Tiffany and Joy. How are you all today?
Good, Zachary. What do you want to recommend?
Great. I wanted to recommend people checking out the program Around the Farm Table. It's a great online program right now people can check out. But also this fall, there's going to be a pilot of 3 episodes on Wisconsin Public Television where they show Ingle Witcher, an organic farmer from Osseo, Wisconsin, going around the state and showing people value-added products, wonderful foods from around Wisconsin, and kind of how to cook them and how to incorporate them into our everyday diet. So people can check out Around the Farm Table. That would be fantastic.
Thank you very much, Zachary. Leah on Twitter says that the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua is our favorite place to eat. All local, mostly organic ingredients, and they have a unique atmosphere. Thanks, Leah, for that recommendation. So are there? Do you think there are areas of the state that are ahead of others when it comes to this local food movement, Tiffany?
You know, I think we're really lucky in the capital region in Madison to have that fantastic farmers market with a history of about 20-some years. However, I think Wisconsin as a whole really does lead the way in this conversation. So I wouldn't just say capital region had it down, because they're not the ones producing all the food, right? There's great stuff out in the Driftless region. There's great stuff up in Door County. So I'm giving it all to Wisconsin.
Yeah. So how can consumers find out who's making great food in their area?
You know, I was just thinking about that, about some great resources. So our website, my company is Localvore, someone who loves to eat locally and then cheerleads for it, Localvore Roar, that's our website. We try to promote local food as best we can throughout the rest of the year when we're not doing the food festival. But then I was thinking of a great thing. There's something special from Wisconsin.com. They have about 600 local food producers on that website, and they have the ability to ship and send that stuff to your friends who don't have the benefits of living in Wisconsin. So I wanted to put that quick little plug in there. It's a Department of Ag program, and they really support local foods in a great way as well.
Well, I wish you all the luck with the first ever Wisconsin Food Festival this weekend. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tiffany Kenny is the event producer for the Wisconsin Food Festival, which will be held this weekend in Delavan, Wisconsin. We've provided a link to the website that has more information about the Wisconsin Food Festival on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, thanks for all your great recommendations. You can continue to post them on Facebook for me and everybody else to see if you want to post your favorite Wisconsin-produced food product. And we want to thank Christy Taylor for producing this program and directing it, and thanks to Robin Cherry for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Richmond, New Richmond, Ridgewood, Woodruff, Woodford, Westville, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Star Prairie, Prairie Sheep, Prairie Sack, Black, Flambeau, Burnett, Hoppin'.